You know, when building a software company, one of the last things we think about is customer support. We think about building the product. We think about marketing and generating leads. We think about how we're going to close those leads. And that's something I help with a lot, as you know. But we often don't think about how can we make sure that we take care of those people that we generate leads for and closed and all that stuff. So I think it's a really important thing. And that's why we had Greg Rich on the show. He's from Vivantio. And they do a great job of making sure that people understand how to provide incredible customer support. So that all that work you go through on your product, you go through the work on your marketing and your sales, it all pays off because you're keeping customers. And more than that, they're helping you grow because they're sharing the word. They're telling others how amazing you are. So if you want to make sure that your customers have an incredible experience, definitely check this episode out. Greg shares a lot of great information on that.
Welcome to Scale Your SaaS, the podcast that gives you proven techniques and formulas for boosting your revenue and achieving your dream exit. Brought to you by a guy who's done just that multiple times. Here is your host, Matt Wallach.
And welcome to Scale Your SaaS. Thank you very much for being here. Glad that you showed up. Now, if you are new to the program, we are here to make sure that you can grow your business and achieve amazing valuation. If those are things that you want, hit the subscribe button right now. Make sure you do not miss out on any of the amazing guests that we bring to put in front of you so you can learn from their experience so you can scale your SaaS. And today's guest is exactly that, an expert in the space. Greg Rich is with me. Greg, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Really glad to have you here. Let me make sure everybody knows who you are. So Greg is the CEO and co-founder at Vivantio. Vivantio, they've been developing new and innovative products to help organize, automate, and measure your customer service desk, or ITSM operations. Greg's immersion in his family business birthed an early love affair for customer service. And Vivantio's odyssey under Greg's leadership is a tapestry of inspiration, ambition, and heart. He definitely knows his stuff, especially when it comes to customer service and how that can help the entire organization. And I can't wait to hear from his experience. So Greg, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Awesome. So tell me, what's been going on with you lately and what's coming up?
So I suppose thinking about the company and the product, we've been doing a lot of work most recently in terms of UIX. We're conscious that we have people that are in Vivantio, 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, providing service and support. So that experience is really important to them, making sure that, the software is easy to navigate, easy on the eye, as few clicks as possible, and things like that. And, everyone's talking about AI, and I guess I'll have to do my pitch too, I suppose, as well. But I do think in the service and support arena, there is an opportunity for generative AI to really help an agent and even the customer, through self-service technologies in, consolidating information and trying to provide responses to customers in a shorter period of time. So, that's what we're focusing a lot of our attention at the moment. But really, it's all about the effect is to try and help the agent and the customer experience and making sure that we can get information to people in a timely fashion. Moving forward, more of the same, I suppose, after we get through this sort of the next couple of months of engineering development, a lot of focus is going to go back on the back end of the product. One of our unique selling points is in relation to the configurability of Vivantio. It's an enterprise platform, but we've always designed it from day one to be something that can be managed and maintained by the user, by the customer, without having to rely on engineers or IT to maintain these systems. But it's evolved over time and it's become more and more complex. So we're kind of moving away a little bit from one of our, differentiators. So, a rehaul of our admin area now is the next big task for us, simplify workflow management, business rules, things like that, make it even easier for customers to go in and make these changes.
I love it. I love it that you're always focused on how can we make sure the customers have great experience. You mentioned that a few times just now, but I want to go back because I think that it's a really interesting story. Tell me, how did you come up with the idea to start this company? Where did this come from?
It was a long time ago. Remember, 20 years now. We're coming up, I think, end of next month, will be 20 years old.
Congrats on that, by the way.
Yes, cheers. Thank you. In some respect, I suppose there were a number of things that kind of happened and maybe not all at the same time. And of course, it was so long ago, maybe the timeline slightly warped in my own mind. But I think it was a combination of a number of things. As you mentioned in the intro, you know, I came from my parents owned their own business. So that was one of the first things. So I was exposed to what it was like running a company as opposed to working for one. Although I did work, you know, in the public and private sector for a good 15 years. They owned a residential home, which was, you know, a home for the elderly, in a small town in Weston-super-Mare in the southwest of England. So that was the thing that kind of exposed me to, you know, customer care generally, you know, coming from that environment. And then just access to technology, you know, when I first started in the tech industry, there was no Windows for Workgroups. We were, you know, DOS-based, Unix-based systems. And, you know, the technology just flooded, over a period of 5 to 10 years. And I absolutely loved it. I just, you know, couldn't get enough of it. Myself and the other co-founder, Russ, you know, we met very early in our careers. We would be in the office all weekend, evenings, you know, just tampering and playing and just working with the technology that we had access to just learn as much as we could. And then, you know, what, 2005 was really when kind of the SaaS or on demand, as we called it, started to take off, you know, online banking, Salesforce.com, you know, all these kind of web-based products emerged. And we just saw an opportunity in a market. You know, we've been working in help desk environments in service and support for about 10 years, you know, in different levels at the company. But there just wasn't access to any, you know, simple, easy-to-use software for service teams. It was, you know, it was all BMC and you know, these large HP, CA, you know, all these big enterprise systems. So we were obviously building access databases and things like that to kind of help us with service and support, and just saw an opportunity to build something using really modern technologies that we could deploy easily. There were economies of scale because we could have everybody accessing the same source code, which again was really unique at the time. So there was no, you know, sending out CDs to customers to do upgrades. We could just update one system and everybody had access to the latest version. We just saw so many opportunities. So I think it's just accumulation of all of those things that kind of came together, you know, in a very short period of time that gave us the confidence to make that leap.
Wow, what a cool story. And I love hearing about companies that came out of that early SaaS era. That's where my first SaaS company was back in the mid-2000s. And it was such a wild west of SaaS back then. Everybody's trying to figure out everything on their own, trying to understand exactly how they can do this thing. It's so cool to hear that you guys have made it this far, almost 20 years. That's really fantastic. But I know that there's been some things that have happened along the way. One thing I want to ask you about, can you share a little bit with our audience the incredible resilience and adaptability required to steer a business when a trusted partner steps back? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, you're obviously referring to Russ. So Russ had to leave the business due to ill health back in 2017. We'd both made the move to the US by that point. So we're based outside Boston, Massachusetts now. Russ was as well. You know, that was, it's a difficult one. I suppose like most things, people react to situations in different ways. Russ and I have been working together since we were like 19 years old. So, I mean, we've been together for a long time. You know, he's got parents who are kids, and he's been a very close friend to me and the family for, you know, such a long period of time. So it wasn't just about losing a business partner. It was kind of losing a best friend at the same time. I mean, he didn't go away. You know, he's still fortunately really well and healthy, which is great. But obviously stepping away from the business was a big challenge. I suppose first it was challenging because I had to take on his workload, you know, the things that he was doing for the business. And that was hard. I was fortunate that I had another trusted partner. My wife stepped in and actually helped alleviate some of that and take some of that responsibility on, which was great. And then the other, you know, was kind of, I realized after a short period of time, I needed someone like Russ around me to help challenge me, because Russ and I always came at a problem in completely different ways. And we often had different ideas or different opinions about how we should solve it. And I think as a result of that, people who used to observe us working together said that actually they could see it as being really beneficial in generating an outcome that was, you know, clearly better than if we'd have come at it on our own. So, you know, that was something I realized that I kind of needed. I mean, I did have a few people in the business. Our COO, Andy, is like that, you know, but we do see eye to eye more often than not. So I need people that are going to challenge me. So, one of the things I did, having spoken to a trusted advisor here in the Boston ecosystem, was join, Vistage, which is a CEO peer-to-peer networking group. So I get to meet with other CEOs once a month. There's about 12, 15 of us that meet for a day session. We have a CEO coach that kind of helps mentor us and, you know, who's a serial entrepreneur and has, you know, got a lot of advice. And that's a great place for me to go and talk about either problems or, you know, opportunities that may be in front of me and to be challenged, just, you know. And that was a real eye-opener for me, I have to say, because, and I've talked about this before, I think coming from the UK to the US, one of the things I really love about the US business culture is just the sheer optimism and the drive and the energy that a lot of people put into their organizations. And people say the British are very reserved, and we are. And, you know, I certainly in the southwest of England where I was living, I didn't really have that around me. Yeah, people don't think like that. They don't talk like that. And actually working in a room with CEOs that, you know, that all had that same passion and drive to be successful actually really championed me. And it really made me think about the opportunity that laid in front of me and, you know, what this company could be. So that was, it was a very difficult, and don't get me wrong, this didn't happen overnight. I probably spent maybe a year or 2 years going through this transition after Russ left, because it was very difficult. You know, mentally difficult to go through. But I was just fortunate to have a lot of really good people around me that kind of, you know, I could lean on to help me through that process.
That's so cool. Having those people there is absolutely critical. I've felt that in my career as well. And you guys are doing great stuff, helping people provide much better customer service to their clients and their customers. But can you tell us, what are some of the benefits that, that great customer service can bring?
So really, we talk about customer experience as kind of the overall or overarching thing that really drives, business benefits, and service and support is one part of that. Obviously, the other part of that is customer success. You know, we talk about customer service being the reactive side of the business. You know, people have problems, things happen. You know, there are problems that occur, or people have requests, and, you know, your service and support team are there to react to those incoming inquiries. And then the customer success team are more proactive. You know, they are managing the relationship with the customer, making sure the customers are getting the best value of your products and services and so on. And it's the combination of those two things that create the customer experience. So when we think about customer experience, it really, up until a few years ago, it was kind of considered maybe a cost center for a lot of organizations, but there's been a definite trend more lately to understand that customer service and customer experience actually has an impact on the bottom line. You know, it has, the old story is, I suppose, happy customers are loyal customers. And of course, that's important from a retention perspective when you're actually providing a service or product to a group of customers. You know, it has a big impact on the renewals. So there, and we all, you know, everybody knows about the statistic is, you know, it's much easier to keep a customer than it is to, you know, get a new customer. So obviously retention is a big thing for a lot of organizations. But of course, if it's done right, it builds advocacy as well with the customer base. And that actually drives revenue. You know, now you're talking about customers that, you know, they're going to do case studies and testimonials, but they're also going to start filling in reviews on websites and be more publicly, announcing what it is that your company does for them. And that has a big impact on how you can leverage that relationship with those customers to drive new business. So, you know, the actual experience that the customer has in dealing with you as an organization has now, you know, like I said, is a growth driver, and organizations are starting to realize that.
We'll be right back. Scale Your SaaS is supported by ToroWave. Lots of software leaders I talk to are looking to scale their SaaS. And I keep hearing over and over about one major struggle: getting ghosted by buyers after the demo. How frustrating is it when you have a great demo, you're feeling good, they like it, it seems like a done deal, and then crickets, nothing. You reach out, they're not responding to you at all. And when these software companies, they ask me to dive in, I notice that these sellers are following up the wrong way, or actually I should say with the wrong medium. What they're doing is they're hammering emails over and over again. I got a newsflash for you. Email effectiveness is dwindling down and down every year. So why beat your head against the wall losing all kinds of business? Start texting. Mix in texts along with emails and calls and watch your conversion rates go up. In fact, conversion rates go up by about 50% when you use texting as part of the follow-up. People are used to it. And did you know the response rate on texts is 98%? 98%. So why throw emails into a black hole knowing that they're never going to get returned. Text buyers and get results. But don't use your own phone. All kinds of security and compliance issues if you do. Also, none of that data is with your company. That's not good. Instead, use this system, ToroWave. ToroWave is designed for sales. It makes texting with buyers super simple and fast, and it helps drive more deals. Deals that you've been losing until now. For being a listener, you get 50% off your first month of using ToroWave. 50% off. Just go to torowave.com/scale. That's TOROWAVE.com/scale. Get signed up and start winning more deals, like Tracy, who closed $170,000 in 3 days after starting. Again, go to torowave.com/scale. Catch up and win by texting with ToroWave. And we're back.
Totally a growth driver. I love what you're saying about how the best customer service generates great raving fans of customers. They go out and tell others, they post reviews, they send referrals. It's amazing what it can do when you're actually taking great care of your customers.
Exactly.
What are some of the mistakes that a lot of software companies are making regarding customer support?
I think where we see when customers come to us, you know, we're kind of a mid-market solution. So a lot of organizations have already got a solution in place, you know, an entry-level solution or maybe, you know, a homegrown solution. And the biggest challenge they're facing is like the data, you know, understanding the data. We're an ITIL 4 practitioner. So, you know, whilst we don't push ITIL onto all customers, we do believe that there are things within that framework. And ITIL, for people who don't know, is like a service management or customer services management framework that talks about best practice when actually, you know, developing and deploying service and support solutions, not just in IT or customer services, but any service solution, HR, facilities, finance, you know, anybody that's providing a service can make use of some of the things within the ITIL framework. And what that talks about is continued service improvement. You know, you can't just set a service desk up or a help desk and say, right, we're done. Like, let's just start providing service and support to people. And as organizations scale, you know, if you think of a small organization where it's two or three on a help desk, you know, they're constantly receiving calls and they're kind of listening and learning as they go. And they're starting to realize, well, we keep getting asked the same question, password reset, so whatever it might be. Let's think about a way that we can make that easier. And so we stop getting those calls in. But as the organization scale and you've got 20, 30, 40 people, you know, managing, you know, a large support team, that stops. You don't get that kind of, you know, access to that information. So it's really important to build a service management platform that allows you to categorize, capture, record information in the right way, be able to understand the activity that takes place and the interactions with those customers, look at the solutions that come out at the end, and then go back and analyze that periodically to say, well, where can we look for service improvements? How can we be more efficient in the way that we provide service? Can we take that time to resolution and reduce it down because there are too many touch points along the way? Thinking about customer journeys, for example, are we finding we are actually getting the same types of requests in for the same type of information? And actually, if we build a knowledge base article, or if we actually go and fix something over here, that will go away. And, you know, whilst I talked about customer service being very reactive, there is an opportunity to think about being proactive and thinking about, you know, how you can put solutions in place that that allow you to solve those problems before they become problems. And again, that has a big impact on customer experience, because if they don't experience the problem, then they remain happy. So it's you know, those are the challenges that I see most organizations, is they don't have a system that allows them to capture the information in an appropriate way that they can properly analyze it and then make service improvements based on the information they have.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And when you can do that, and like you said, be proactive with your customer support, it's just amazing what can happen. I've seen that happen in companies I've been in as well. Tell me, I want to understand, I mean, you guys have been doing this for quite a while now. A lot of our audience are just getting started. So help me understand, with your company's own start and growth, what were some of the best things you did along the way in the early days that helped your company get to where it is now?
So I think one of the things from Russ, you know, when Russ and I started, I think one of the things that I would probably fall on the most is just understanding where our capabilities were, you know, where our strengths and weaknesses were, and understanding those weaknesses very early on in the process. We were not salespeople. You know, we had some, you know, I'm quite a creative person. Russ is very analytical. Like I say, we come at things in very different ways, which is a good thing. So, you know, things like, you know, on the marketing side, I was able to do things like build the website, you know, and do design work like that. Russ was able to just like delve into Google Analytics, you know, because he was so analytical. And, you know, in the early days that worked really well. So we were able to play to those sort of strengths, even though it wasn't something we'd done before. Sales, on the other hand, didn't have a clue. You know, the thought of phoning a prospect or even somebody that filled a form on the website and actually making a phone call was just like daunting to us, even though we'd worked in an environment where we're speaking to customers all the time. The concept of selling was just frightening. So, you know, we realized that very early on. And we wanted to be engineers and we wanted to develop software and solutions, and we couldn't do it all. So, you know, relying on channel partners in the very early days, was a way in which we, you know, addressed that issue. But I suppose for any organization, you know, depending on where your skills lie, it's really just understanding where, you know, where your weaknesses are, and then trying to work out how you can actually fill that void. I think the other big thing is like listening to customers as well. It's so easy to think you know what people want without really asking the question or asking the question why. You know, sometimes we have customers coming to us even these days saying, well, we want a feature to do this, or, you know, there's a gap over here. Can we get a feature to do that? And it's, we have to challenge them and say, well, what is the problem you're trying to solve? You know, let's forget about what it is that you think it needs to do. What are you trying to solve? And maybe we can come up with something that's actually better, you know, solution that not just is great for you, but great for everybody. And I think we did that really well in the early days, as we started to grow the company. You know, we had forums, we had, you know, access to our customers, and we just continued to get information back in terms of product enhancements, improvements, and things that they were hoping to see in the product. So, and again, it all comes back to the customer experience. We've always been a customer focused, customer first organization, and our customers, you know, have a seat at the table when it comes to product development and enhancements. And it's not because we're trying to just serve them, it's because they're solving the same problems that our prospects are having. So, you know, as we work and build our products to serve our customers better, it's helping us win more business as well. So I see it as a win-win, but certainly getting feedback from customers in terms of what they see as the, you know, the benefits of the products and how we should be developing certain things is key.
It's so funny. I ask this question a lot, and so many leaders who have been successful in growing their software company say you've got to be able to have conversation with your customers. You've got to know what they care about, what they think about, what keeps them up at night. And I'm glad to hear you say that as well. It's just reiterating for everybody out there, you've got to have those conversations. It's critical. And Greg, as we wrap up, what tips would you give to software leaders out there who are kind of in their early days and maybe they need to know how to grow and they need to know how to provide great customer support? What would you share with them?
Yeah, I think for any leader that's building a SaaS company at the moment, I do think, you know, getting a trusting advisory board to sit around you to help challenge you, I think is key. And again, you may have people in your organization that can do that already, but if you don't, I think that's important. We've already talked about the importance of, you know, working with your customers to help, you know, build your product and your brand. I think that's really important too. But as it relates to service and support, as we've talked about, and obviously you've agreed with, I think, you know, that's a really important part in terms of how you think about retaining your customers and how you can, you know, I won't say leverage the relationship, you know, because we call it a co-creation of value. You know, we hope to meet somewhere in the middle where they're getting something and from us and we're getting something from them. And if that's advocacy and, you know, then talking to other customers and helping us, you know, write case studies and win business, then, you know, that's a really important factor in terms of scaling a SaaS organization. So, you know, I think of your customer as a growth engine. Think of how they can help your business and how you can help them. It shouldn't be a fire and forget mentality where you sell them something or they buy something and then you move on to the next customer. Think about how you can manage that relationship so that you both get something from it.
Brilliant. Love it. Very well said. And I think it's some really important stuff that I hope people took to heart. So Greg, this has been awesome. How can our audience learn more about you and Vivantio?
So you can check us out at vivantio.com. That's V-I-V-A-N-T-I-O. It's a bit of an odd name, but just so that's clear. Obviously LinkedIn as well. You can find us on LinkedIn. If you send an email to info@vivantio.com, that'll land in my inbox. So again, happy to reach out to anybody that wants to talk to me directly.
Okay, perfect. We'll put all that into the show notes. So if you're listening, you'll be able to grab it all there. But Greg, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all this.
No, thank you. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Matt.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the listeners as well. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks to everybody out there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for coming. Make sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss any other amazing leaders like Greg coming up in the next few weeks. And then we will see you next time. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Scale Your SaaS. For more help on finding great leads and closing more deals, go to mattwallach.com.